Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth.
And welcome to the podcast. My name is Brian David Thompson, and you're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid on the Streams of Many Waters podcast network. And we're coming to you from sunny Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm sitting here in studio with CK Thompson. And what do you got, CK?
Well, hi, Brian. It's great to be here in, yes, sunny Las Vegas, which it was, I don't know if it got out of the 40s today.
It's still warmer than most places.
Yeah, we just got back from Oregon, and it was really cold there.
Mm-hmm.
Made me appreciate Las Vegas.
They had like 6 to 9 inches of snow on the day that we left.
Oh, man. So we got out of there just in time.
Right.
We were driving in like white out conditions there for a little while. It was gorgeous because I was the one driving. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. So in any case, we're back in Las Vegas and back in civilization, I might add, because I'm just noticing here. Well, there's a Republican debate, big debate here tomorrow night. That's what I mean by that.
And I missed that that was happening. So what are you seeing about
that? It's going to be at the Venetian in Las Vegas tomorrow night is what's going on. It's the fifth and final debate of 2015 for the Republican candidates. And let's see. It's going to be, I mean, it is prime time, and it's going to be aired by CNN, apparently.
Oh.
And who's in this debate? It looks like on the main stage, because they kind of have, well, they have two debates usually. There's one debate for the candidates that don't get enough votes, since there's a lower tier debate, and nobody wants to be in that. Everybody wants to be on the main stage. And the main stage this time is going to be Chris Christie, after failing to qualify for the last Fox Business Network debate.
Oh,
anyway,
really?
He's back. Chris Christie and Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, Carly Fiorina, John Kasich, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, and Rand Paul seem to have made it.
Oh, wow. So that's right here in Las Vegas.
Right. So that'll be tomorrow night. So that's kind of a big deal.
Oh, fun.
And,
that's always fun.
Yes. So did you have, just in kicking this off, did you have any ideas about that or anything you want to share?
Well, you know what? Actually, I do. When it comes to politics, that's one thing that I really believe that the word of the Lord right now is the Lord is saying to fight the fight in the spiritual realm. He's saying fight it in the Lord's arena and not in the devil's arena for all of those that feel that there's a fight to be fought. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot of the strife in the atmosphere. I can feel that there's so much between the terrorism that's going on and, people are feeling it and they don't even realize that it's having an impact on them. Stuff that's going on in the atmosphere itself is impacting the natural realm and causing people to react in ways and they don't even know why they feel the way they do. Sometimes they think they're depressed or they think that, you know, they don't understand why there's feels like chaos or confusion or, you know, it affects their thinking or creates a lot of fear. And they're picking up on the pressure that's in the atmosphere.
That's interesting that
spiritual
you
realm.
Mentioned that, because it just occurred to me, do you think that might even be spiking the activity in the supernatural realm might be spiking specifically because, I mean, in this area, I'm talking about Vegas, but because of that debate tomorrow night and everybody's coming in.
Oh, well, because it's actually here.
Because it's actually here. And, like,
you
the
know,
people are here,
be.
The
it
candidates
could,
are here.
That makes a lot of sense.
Everybody's here covering it, you know, and it's kind of.
Because I've been feeling a lot of activity, just spiritual activity going on, and it's actually rather unnerving. Frankly, I haven't been sleeping well when that's going on. I didn't think of that. There, one thing about it that a lot of believers, I believe, need to understand is the fact that you cannot Okay, don't look to politics to be the savior of your country. Don't look to any man. The word says to pray for the welfare of your city, pray for the welfare of your country, so that we may live quiet and peaceable life, and so forth. Pray, by all means pray. But the Lord gave me some specific prophetic words about talking to me about politics, actually starting in the year 2000, which is interesting. I didn't realize that. That was the same year he started the series of dreams about finances. The same year, right after that, he started the series of dreams about supernatural youth. I didn't realize he was talking to me about the politics. All that stuff started around the same time. I was looking through some notes here that I had in my my file, that pile of words from the Lord, and some of it I typed out, and we even put it in a newsletter 10 years ago, and I got some pretty unhappy replies from people through the mail from some people. Other people understood what I'm talking about, but others were like, had already gotten into fear so much. It has created so much fear, the political atmosphere in our country right now, that people were saying, oh, but if such and such happens, we're going to become a third world country. And this is coming from believers. I'm talking about people who at least profess to be believers. This kind of fear that God can't do what he wants to do in America, that he can't keep his word unless we change it in the political realm.
Yeah.
And the Lord's doing it something different here. I tell you what, when revival breaks out, politics can do whatever they want. It changes everything. Revival takes on a life of its own, and I mean, it doesn't matter what's happening in the political realm. It changes what's happening in the political realm. People's.
So you never hear about revival starts at the ballot box.
No. I've never heard that one before.
Oh, okay.
Did you just come up with that?
Just checking.
Oh, that's good. Well, the thing that I've noticed is it seems like in all of it, there is a sense of entitlement among believers, Christians. Like, now we're entitled not to have to love anymore. We don't have to walk in love anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's okay to hate in the name of the Lord, because this is for love of country and stand up for what we believe, you know, the moral rights of our country.
If they're on the other side, then it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay to actually hate and gossip about human beings because of politics. Somehow that changes the rules of the kingdom, that you don't have to live like a Christian.
Right.
Now, because we're talking about politics here, so we can just get as nasty as we want.
Yeah, you don't have to love.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do hear that, or people that will say, just vehemently hate groups of people and refuse to love them, and then say, what is it they say? Like, they make it a political thing, and then they'll say, I don't compromise my values.
Right. There you go.
And so then they're like all proud. Oh, yeah, well, I hate you because look at me. I just don't compromise my values. That's how good I am.
Right. And that's a very good point, because that is how the Pharisees, for instance, became so over time. They felt they were doing God a favor by politicizing religion, and they tried to pull Jesus into it.
Definitely.
A couple times they tried to entrap him, like, well, am I required to pay taxes, you know? And they were trying to trip him up every which way,
right?
And he wouldn't go there. He said, show me a denarius. Was that a coin?
Right.
And then he said, whose picture is on there? And it was, what, Caesar?
Caesar, yeah.
And he said, so give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto God what is God's.
Exactly.
And that kind of ticked them off, because they couldn't pull him in, and a lot of them were not doing right by God.
Right.
So, It's kind of like some of the people who don't believe they have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. I know this is, I don't know, this is an awesome thought to some people, perhaps a new thought.
Yeah.
But if you take on an attitude of walking in love towards your country, mm-hmm. just like you would towards other believers, we choose to walk in love no matter what. We don't have the option. If we don't walk in love, who will? Seriously. Not only towards right. people, but how about towards our country? How about towards politicians, for instance? A lot of groups have decided that they don't have to pay taxes. They shouldn't have to. Like, it's not constitutional to have to pay their taxes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And to me, that's almost, that's like a manifestation of the spirit of poverty.
Interesting. How so?
Because love gives. I feel like, okay, I give to God. In fact, I tithe. I believe in tithing so much so that I like to tithe many times over. Mm-hmm. So in other words, Mike and I know sound right. kind of crazy, but we believe that eventually we'll be able to tithe 9 times or 90% and live off the 10%. We will expect to be that blessed and prosperous based on his promises to us personally. But in the same way, with the same expectation of blessing, I don't consider that robbery to give to God. I consider it sowing into the kingdom, sowing it into what God is doing in the earth, sowing it into the spirit, sowing it in, I mean, to bring the kingdom, man, and to bless. It's always to bless. And so when we pay our taxes, I consider that giving to my country. Now that I've given my money to my country, and by the way, we do pay taxes. Mm-hmm. Just because we're preachers doesn't mean we don't pay taxes. We just, the corporation is a nonprofit
right.
organization, but a lot of people think that pastors don't pay taxes, and that's not true. Another issue for another time. But anyway,
right.
when we pay our taxes, if we do it with an attitude to bless and love and bless our country, God can use that. Instead of feeling like, well, they're just robbing me all the time, why not give? Why not give it? I mean, that's a whole new thought. Why not give and bless our country? Do you realize what that spirit and that anointing would do to the economy of our country if people treated their taxes like they're giving to bless?
It's true, because your attitude, if you change your attitude, then everything that comes out of you is entirely different. You don't just have
Absolutely.
A scowl on your face and a clenched fist.
Exactly.
I'm a Christian. Look at me.
Right. So. Exactly. Why not act like it? Why not treat our country as if...
It's a manifestation of walking in love.
Absolutely. It really is. And the Lord kind of brought me up short on that thing about the taxes. I'm like, Lord, it's not fair. And, you know, that kind of thing. And like,
yeah.
And he says, I really felt that he said to me, don't you want to have the blessing of God on your country? Don't you want it in your life? Do you realize that when you're withholding? Jesus, those are the words of Jesus. When he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God's, that wasn't just a suggestion. That was just as much a commandment as love one another, or a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How about love your country the way God loves us?
That's an excellent point.
And people don't think that way, you know. It's just,
right.
Because when you love your country, it's actually the people in the country. God loves them. And God has a destiny for the United States. I believe that. And we have not fulfilled it as yeah. yet. And
as Christians, the general point is, you know, God wants us to be successful and then bless all around us,
yes.
including the country. So, I mean, he doesn't want Christians to be stingy
right.
in any way, including the taxes. You're supposed to be. His will is for you to be
generous.
Successful and generous.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes taxes.
Right.
And I mean, tax codes will change, so you just kind of have to go with it. Because, I mean, sometimes the taxes are higher and sometimes they're lower.
Right.
It depends on who's in charge, what administration it is, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, what period of history. So it's always going to kind of fluctuate up and down.
Right.
So you can't just go by that, because then you're just responding to circumstances. And we're not
yes.
supposed to respond to circumstances. We're supposed to just have a way that we live our life.
Yes.
And things will change.
We are doers of the word no matter what. And if we live our lives, yeah, that's across the board in every situation, like as doers of the word and without fear, because that's really what the biggie is about taxes and people, you know, being upset about taxes going up or whatever it is fear that God can't take care of us or that we won't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And fear of what's going to happen in the future. And we don't need that fear going on. We really need, you know, perfect love casts out fear. And fear has torment. And it can cause people to be... Well, fear is the root of the spirit of poverty. And we've talked about before that the spirit of poverty, which the Lord told me is a harsh taskmaster, it has nothing to do with how much money you have. The spirit of poverty is a spirit that causes people to be afraid that they won't have enough. And it's just basically saying to the Lord, I'm afraid that you won't keep your word and provide my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. People need to know that, and I mean, they need to know, they have to have it settled in their hearts, that God will move heaven and earth if he has to keep his word. He cannot lie. And if he says, I will supply your need according to, you know, my riches in glory, and the riches are in the glory, that if he can't get it to you through your job, if he can't get it to you what you need through what would be, we would consider just the usual means, he will move heaven and earth. He will do whatever he has to in order to keep his word and to supply your needs. Because otherwise, everything would blow up. I mean, literally. Everything is being held together by the power of his word. This planet, this universe, everything that we know and just can't count on in life, it's all being held together by the power of his word. He cannot break his own word. If he broke it, everything would blow up. And people don't realize that it's stronger than gravity, that law that God cannot lie. And so why the fear? Where is this fear coming from that drives people to become so hateful and fearful over politics? It's just a new thought. Sometimes that's a very new thought for some people.
Right. Well, yeah, and it has to do with murmuring, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Like spirit of murmuring.
Oh, man. That is a biggie. Such a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord spoke to me about murmuring, and I didn't realize how far back it was.
Yeah.
And I remember sharing it at the time, and I don't know if it just went right over people's heads or they didn't want to stop murmuring. He told me back, I didn't even realize it went this far back. He told me, that's what we were talking about at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to me in a dream, and I know I've been saying this a lot. And then in a dream, he said to me, Daniel, he told me to read the book of Daniel over and over. He kept saying, Daniel, ask Daniel about Daniel. Read Daniel. The Lord likes to use kind of not word, a play on words with me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you'd have to be there. I've been listening to the book of Daniel on my phone, having it read it to me.
Yeah.
He called them the visions of the night. And that makes sense to me. Instead of just dreams.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, Daniel starts out with King Nebuchadnezzar having a dream and stuff like that. And asking them to come and tell the dream and give the interpretation. And Daniel called it visions of the night. Because the kind of dreams I have are not necessarily like, you know, there were three frogs sitting on a log and one of them had three spots and one had two spots. And, you know, I don't have those kind of dreams. I have these visions of the night where the Lord shows me specific people or things, or he just talks to me.
Yeah.
And I know what they mean. I don't really need an interpretation necessarily.
Uh-huh.
I get it. You know, it's a vision of the night.
Mm.
But he told me in a vision of the night, and I thought, awesome, I'm going to use that terminology for a little while because I'm getting tired of saying, the Lord told me in a dream. But that's also scriptural. So,
yeah.
This is what he said. I'll read it to you.
This
was written in the year 2000. Now, hang on, because a little bit of it may sound a little bit harsh, but just hang on. It turns out all right.
Okay.
The Lord always, he did a plus, minus, plus on me here. There is a sound of murmuring in the land. The spirit of murmuring has gone forth into the body of Christ. It used last year's election and the whole election process and other events that happened in our nation as a vehicle to sneak in among God's people so that they would become comfortable with murmuring. It started by murmuring about political parties and the candidates, and then my people began to turn the murmuring on each other. The spirit of murmuring, it seems like a small, inconsequential sin, but beware of the consequences. To the children of Israel, it meant 40 years in the wilderness. They did not possess their land, and their children weren't allowed to possess it either, until the murmuring generation died in the wilderness. The spirit of murmuring, do you think it is small? Do you think it is inconsequential? I hate murmuring, says the Lord, because it sparks and even creates rebellion in our hearts. No, in your hearts. It reveals the doubt and the fear in people's hearts. Murmuring uses the power of your words to carry doubt, fear, and unbelief, and to stop you from inheriting your land. Many of my people have seen their finances dry up and have cried out to me, but murmuring has caused even your finances to go into captivity. And this is the message of the hour. Repent of the sin of murmuring. You have murmured against one another, against my shepherds, and ultimately against me, says the Lord. Repent of it and cleanse your hands of this sin. Purify your hearts and no longer be double-minded. Pray for those against whom you have murmured. The words of the Lord to Job's comforters in Job 42. My wrath is kindled against you, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right. Now the Lord was being misrepresented in that. He said, now therefore take 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And you know, that's the Old Testament. He was telling him to go repent for misrepresenting God. And then Job, we know in the story that Job prayed for his friends and the Lord healed him as yep. well as delivered them. But then, and again in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Then he said, now watch me turn your captivity and restore your fortunes as you pray for your friends. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he spoke to me about the party spirit. I believe it's in Galatians. I'm trying to think what it's called. The different versions call it. I didn't realize that's what it was. I thought party spirit. I thought it meant like, you know, going partying.
Like drinking and smoking.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Right. And that's not what it is.
Not that kind of party?
Not that kind of party.
It's so party actually. like political parties
yeah.
or factions.
Factions.
Or that. Sects.
Mm-hmm. Sectarian.
S-E-C-T. Yeah, sectarianism.
Sectarianism.
Right.
That's what it is. That party spirit. It's in Galatians. So, spirit of murmuring. I started talking about that in 2000 and didn't realize that was 15 years ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyone listening in the future, all of a sudden I'm thinking of somebody like digging up old, what do you call those? Like a time.
Yeah, like archives or
yeah.
Like a time capsule or something. And having in it. Well, yeah, even notwithstanding that, I was just thinking about that. The Republican debate will be long gone by the time this airs. So
probably, unless we were quick about it. And,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, God bless the Streams of Many Waters podcast network and everybody there. And you guys, just bless them. I know I took up right off in the middle there, but.
No, Wendell's fast, but yeah. He's not that fast.
Yeah,
so
you never know.
They won't hear it.
I'm really impressed with that guy. Those are awesome people.
But anyway, back to what? Sectarianism. Party.
Yes.
You were talking about party
the
spirit.
The party spirit of sectarianism. Republican, the Lord told me then in 2006, because I apparently hadn't been beat up enough about by people. Mm-hmm. It was time to stick me out there and make a little punching bag out of me.
Yet
Thank
again.
You, Lord.
Yet again.
He said, Republican does not mean Christian. I'm like, uh-oh.
How dare you?
I know. Okay, Lord. So which one do I... I'd rather preach about finances right now.
I know.
They get less mad. But in 2006, the Lord told me to change my voter registration. And so I did, and now I am unaffiliated.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me personally. I'm not telling anyone else to do that.
Yes.
It's just that I found myself in so many ministry situations where souls are on the line here. Heaven or hell for the person that I'm ministering to. And if politics were to get in the way, I'm going to give up that right to my own personal politics in order to make sure that that person doesn't go to hell, you know.
Yeah.
So I was able to say to some really hurting people that I have never signed a petition against you. I have never, you know, we've never allowed these things in our church. We don't tell people to vote. We don't tell them to vote. Wait a minute. Let me rephrase
how
that.
How to vote.
Let me change that around. Just the opposite. We do tell them to vote.
Right.
But we don't tell them how to vote. We don't tell them what to think.
Right.
We try to teach people how to think.
And there's no candidates that come through and give speeches or any political things.
No.
Or just anything along those lines. Not at all.
No, we don't do that. Pray. We tell people to pray. Pray and listen to God. And don't judge by the outward appearance on any of the candidates. Whatever you're doing, I mean, listen to the Lord, because he's going to surprise you. I especially feel it on this one coming up. He's going to surprise us. He told me in a vision of the night that, where was it here? He said, okay, in 2007, he said he was bringing down the leaders of the religious right. And if you notice that it doesn't seem to be any real actual, you know, Jerry Falwell type people that are leading the charge at this time.
Right.
He's removed.
Moral maturity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, you know, I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but he removed them. Well, some of them just went on home to be with the Lord, but he hasn't raised up anybody else to actually, like, take that strong position because he didn't want it to become something that, a religious matter.
Mm-hmm.
And religious really is an operative word here.
That's true.
We're not electing a pastor. We're electing a president.
That's true.
Okay. If you have something you want to say to me, write to prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Thank you. Please keep it nice. But he told me that in a vision of the night, whether you believe me or not, I was there, so I know what I heard. He said, in 2007, he said, right now I'm getting ready to throw a monkey wrench into the works.
Uh-huh.
So he said, pray for the person that he needs in the Oval Office. And people need to understand, a lot of times the candidates that God, the person that God wants in there, it's not who you think. Don't judge by the outward appearance. Sometimes he wants to throw in a monkey wrench. Sometimes he wants to do something completely unpredictable. And throughout the Bible, he used foreign kings, especially in the Old Testament, he used foreign leaders to protect his people, to take care of his own people. So things aren't always as they appear.
Yeah, it's true. That's good.
Can you talk to me about the timetable of God and Israel? And there were certain things that must come to pass. But, and we already talked a little bit about that. He talked to me about hating in the name of the Lord, and that it's not okay, and that the heart of each individual is different. Because, you know, it's been going on quite a few years where Christians have begun to think that they're doing their Christian duty by being political and listening to their talk shows more diligently than the Word of God.
Ouch. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
And they,
that's not going to be easy for some people to hear.
I know. They can quote their big deal is the Constitution, and thank God for the Constitution. The Constitution was taken from the Word, mostly, from what I understand. I have read it. It's been a while.
Constitution first, Bible second. That's the way it goes. Oh,
no.
Sorry. That was backwards.
Just backwards. The Word of God always first. And people are standing on the Constitution more than standing on the Word. There needs to be an overall understanding that no matter what happens, the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. You got to be standing on the Word. Guys, you got to be standing on the Word so that you're not afraid of what happens out there, because...
Yeah, and there are, and I mean, and I'm being serious for a second, because of course I was just kidding around there, but have noticed with some people, it seems like... they really want to take a stand for something, you know, and they really want to do that. So they go for the Constitution first, you know. And
yeah.
I want to mention some names, but I'm not going to. And so everything's the Constitution this and the Constitution that. And, like, that's the top priority when it's actually not. But anyway, the point I was trying to get at is that I understand that they're wanting to take, you know, a stand and do something good, but... Maybe just shift the priorities just a little bit. I mean, the Constitution is not the infallible word.
That's true. It's not the infallible word of God. And perhaps shifting the attitude would be the thing, is get out of fear about it. The thing that matters the most is serving God with all of our hearts and being doers of the word. And just going after, I mean, let's usher in the kingdom. If we spent half the time in intercession, intercede our country into the will of God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray. Pray like you would for your family, for your loved ones. Pray. We can intercede our country into the will of God. But we got to have faith in that. God is sending revival, and it's going to change everything. And politics isn't going to have one bit of difference. It's not going to make one bit of difference. You ask people, the Christians in China, people that are being martyred all over the world, God's not an American. We are very blessed here. And our fight is not with flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. People need to believe that, because otherwise you're fighting the fight in the devil's arena. If you get out there in the mud of politics, you're fighting it in the devil's arena. It's okay to discuss it. That's wonderful. We should. But if you got your faith in that, and you're fighting tooth and nail, and you're coming up in strife, and you're covered with mud from the fight... the strife and the fear and the just literally the hatred, the getting out of walking in love, and now I'm entitled to whoop up on people.
And if you hate groups of people because they're different from you politically, then you are definitely doing something wrong.
Yeah, we've gotten away from something that I'm not willing to compromise, and that is the Word of God, my relationship with the Lord. It's got to come first. Yeah, I won't compromise that. I don't care. I will love you whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, a Green Party, whatever you are. If you're gonna have an impact, if you're a politician, I'm gonna love you whether I agree with you or not, because the Lord told me to love. He told us all to love one another as He loves us. There's some people you have to agape from a distance.
Right. And you still, you know, just pointing out, I mean, I think you made it clear, but you still, you know, can vote your conscience and vote your party and do, you know, what you want to do in the ballot
absolutely.
Box and everything. It just has to do with, but how are you treating other people? That's
right.
The key. You don't just vote how you want and then come out and then hate.
Yeah, it's about attitude. It's about not getting involved. It's about remaining true to the Word and true to the Lord. Don't misunderstand me at all about politics. You know, I find it very interesting. I always watch the debates and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind a lively debate. I think it's awesome. I think it's fun. I sit and laugh. I heckle some of the guys, and they're sitting there. I'm pulling for some of those guys.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you who. Right now, unless the Lord tells me to. Lord, don't do that. Please don't do that. But anyway, I do think it's interesting the terminology that he said to me, that he was going to throw a monkey wrench into the works.
Mm-hmm.
He that has ears to hear.
But
even at that, I'm
so
not going to
try
say,
and figure that out.
Thus saith the Lord on that.
It's a hint.
That was a hint.
Uh-huh.
Politics are fun, aren't they?
Can be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. Lively debate is wonderful. It's when people start getting hateful and they've got too much riding on it. They're afraid and they come up swinging and they've gotten out of love and have gotten involved in trusting the political system instead of the Lord to protect our country. We got to pray, man. Pray like you've never prayed before. How about pray in tongues? And if you don't pray in tongues, we can help you with that. But pray for your country and love. That's a biggie. That's stretchy. Love your president. Care about his soul. And also speak the truth in love. If there's sin going on, if there's stuff that really is true and needs to be brought out, the Lord will expose it, I guarantee you. Coming up on times that people aren't getting away with anything. It's being exposed. And in fact, some of the things that the Lord showed me about in a vision of the night.
Oh, yeah?
About our current president. You can even go to our website and read some articles about that. And the only reason I put it there is because I dreamed about it. And I felt that he told me to tell the people. Otherwise, even at that, you gotta read it with read it prayerfully and hear what the Spirit is saying and not just look at it in the natural. Things are not as they appear. So right now, the atmosphere over our country has been filled with terror because of the recent terrorist strikes. The shooting in San Bernardino. It's horrible.
Uh-huh.
Horrible thing.
There's been a lot going on.
Yeah. There's a lot of anger in the atmosphere. There's a lot of, you know, we were talking about politics, which I never talk about. I don't like to talk about politics.
Here we go.
I am sorry, but I just did, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fear in the atmosphere and a lot of strife in the atmosphere. And the Lord says, let's shift the atmosphere. How about that? We are his people. We are called to bring the kingdom. Jesus said, go, and he sent out his disciples and said, go and teach the kingdom of heaven. Go preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go tell them the kingdom of heaven has been delivered to your door. The kingdom of heaven is among you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's here.
Yep.
And we are ambassadors of heaven. And as an ambassador of heaven, it's our job to comfort the people. I had hoped that this podcast was going to bring comfort, but I hope it didn't just stir up kind of a hornet's nest. The Lord said, comfort my people. He is the God of all comfort, but he's placed before us choices. People have choices to make right now of whether they're going to walk in love or not. In Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 30, where he says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. He says, choose. There are certain things that are simply a choice. Love is a choice. The lifestyle of love is a choice because it's something that you choose to do in spite of how you feel. There's times we don't feel very loving about things, and we are in a position that we have to just make the choice. Am I going to walk in love, or am I going to just get on board with all the strife and participate? Murmuring and strife, people don't realize the consequences, how devastating the consequences of strife can be. Do you remember the scriptural address of husbands and wives and how their prayers are hindered when they get into strife? Is it in Timothy? I had it here a few minutes ago, and now I seem to have misplaced it. So I'll look it up quick.
Okay, I've got here then. Okay, I'm looking at 2 Timothy 2.
Okay.
Verse 23 to 26. I'll just read it here.
Okay.
But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Wow. Strife is...
That was what you meant.
Yes, that's the one I was talking about. The strife causes people to be taken captive. And there's also a scripture here that goes along with that, and I had them both. I kind of had them mixed up there. But mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And this one goes with it. It's 1 Peter 3:7, where it goes right along with that. In the same way, you married men. Now, so this is also as it applies to families.
Sure.
The same principle. You married men should live considerately with your wives. I'm in the Amplified. Live considerately with your wives, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relationship, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you are joint heirs of the grace, God's unmerited favor of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. Otherwise, you cannot pray effectively.
Oh, there you go. That's the one. That's good.
Yeah. So, strife can just basically shut down a person's prayer life, their answers to prayer. There's just, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, guys.
No.
We got to trust God. And we got to walk in love. We just got to. If we're serious about really walking in destiny, and seeing the desires of our hearts come to pass, every promise of God, everything that he has specifically talked to you personally about, or everything he's promised you in his word, all these things are at stake, not only for you, but for those that he's called you to minister to, everyone around you, your family, your loved ones, your life, your future, your destiny, your finances, I mean, your job, everything that pertains to life and godliness, you know, walking in love is the key to walking in all of the supernatural anointings and blessings of God. And we don't have the luxury of allowing ourselves to get out of the love walk. If we don't walk in love, who will? And I pray that believers around the country start catching on that love never fails. Love never fails. Love is much stronger than anyone realizes. True love. And I'm not talking about sappy religious stuff. I'm talking about the real deal. Authentic love. It can change a country. It can change the nation. Find out. Pray. Spend time in actual prayer. And let's start doing things God's way. Not let the devil dictate how it's done. And let's bless God by loving one another. And I just want to say, I love you. I love you. Everyone listening to this right now, I don't even know you maybe yet, but I love you. God loves you. You matter. Your life matters. And you're worth so much more than a lot of people are just not living where what they're worth. God has created us for so much better than what we've been walking in. And he wants to raise us up into levels of glory and blessing and joy. And it makes no difference what the devil's doing on the planet. Let's bring the kingdom and drive them out of here. Let's bring the kingdom and just take as many souls with us, snatch them out of the jaws of hell, and give it all back to Jesus. And it might seem to be naive on my part, but I do believe that love never fails. And with that, I'm going to say, God bless you and peace out.
Yep. All right. Well done. And it's a good word. We're going to go ahead and leave it there today. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And just remember to subscribe, click on that, share, check out the website. And thanks again, everyone.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.